greatly, but whatever.
Participants, Justin. There's Isla.
Hello, hello.
There's Justin. Hey.
Hey,
Isla.
Hey.
How's everybody?
Fantastic.
Hello, guys. Hello, guys.
Trying to stay sane.
Yeah, trying to keep your head on straight.
I didn't know if you guys were meeting last week because of the holidays, so I didn't hop on. I asked you that in the chat room the week before, and you didn't answer me, so I just assumed you guys were taking a break. But
we were there. Yeah, no worries. How was your holiday? Did you have more than 12 people at your home, or what did you do?
I didn't, but I could have. I should have.
Nice. New York, it's 10 people.
You get 10 people. Wow.
You Cardi B, you can have 40.
Cardi B had 40 people?
Yeah.
Heck yeah, Cardi B.
She said she apologized.
Of course, yeah, that's what they all do. They apologize afterwards, right? Oh, man. That's crazy. Did you guys have anyone that was going to come to your house, but then they declined because they got scared? We had that.
No. Oh, really?
My daughter wasn't hugging me.
You're what, Tanya?
My daughter didn't want to hug me.
Oh, really?
Wow.
I have family members that way too. They just don't want to come, and they're bugging me about getting the shot. Don't understand why.
Oh, they want you to get the shot, your own family?
Wow.
Yeah, they think it is going to save you. And I can't reason with them. And
the president's getting it now. Isn't it? Bill Clinton, yeah, and Obama, Bush is getting it.
Sure.
They're really pushing it when the president's getting
not,
it.
They're not going to get it.
They didn't get it.
No way. No, have you guys seen those videos where the like prime minister will get it, but the cap's on, you know, the cap's on the syringe?
That's right. Yeah, that happened.
It's all just theater, isn't it? It's all just a show. I saw that, Anthony, where Bush, Obama, and Clinton are, we'll get it on live TV. Is that what they said?
You said the prime minister did what now?
Well, no, Bush, Obama, and Clinton all said that they would get it on live TV, I think, right?
No, you said something about the prime minister had a cap on or something?
Oh, yeah. Like, there's a bunch of videos going around where the prime minister of certain countries or prominent people will get the shot on live TV, and they zoom in on the syringe, and it's got the cap still on there.
I have seen First Lady said she'd get it on live TV, but that was about like a month or so ago, and I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And how do we know it's not just saline?
Exactly.
Right?
Don't be just like, hey, water. Don't be water.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I wish you could just say, yeah, I definitely did get the vaccination, but you did get like a saline solution instead.
Yeah.
You know? So that way your record's down or whatever that you did get it.
There'll be some black market stuff going on, I'm sure.
Yeah,
if it comes to that.
Hey, how about that? How about somebody developing nano water that can go into your system and mimic whatever they want? And it'll come up. I need to vent that. Man, that'd be great.
Yes.
Nano solution. It'll make it whatever you want it to be.
I know, right? Nanobots in there or something.
Hey, Justin, I have a question.
Sure.
It's Mary. What do you do to help them understand that? I mean, they were upset if I went to church because I was going to see them on Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm.
And that, how do you help them? I explain to them, people die more of the flu before than this, and they don't agree with me.
I think one thing that would be really helpful for people, I think the biggest thing is instead of trying to prove the positive side, like there's a conspiracy or there's something wrong with all this, instead of trying to prove that, I think the best solution is to try to poke holes in the armor of what they believe in, you know? And so like, One thing that I found was interesting that is really difficult to argue with is, like, you could argue the science, you could argue so many facets of this thing, but if you look at the CDC death toll for this year, it's my understanding that there's a slightly less deaths this year than there was last year. So, like, let's say you have a small little society and 100 people die every year, and then a pandemic hits, and the next year 500 people die. Well, then the total death is 100 like normal, and then the extra 500. So the total for that second year is 600 people. But if the total for year one is 100 and year two is 90, or year two is 120 or 100, then there's just less overall death. And I don't see how you can argue with something like that.
I know my son will say this because we are not going out, we're distancing, and we're using a mask. So what would you say then?
It's all because we're following the rules?
Yes.
Well, I mean, at that point, it becomes like something where you would have to send them some information. What I've tried to do inside the academy is put together like source material from like Fauci and from the CDC and stuff like that. So you may want to like look at the COVID-19 section inside our academy for source material when it comes to like masking and all that kind of stuff. But I think if we're going to argue with people like that, like they want to be afraid. It's just, that's what they want. They want that. They yeah. want to be afraid and they want to be told what to do by someone they respect. So for me, I don't focus my energy on those people at all. I just can't. I just kind of let them go to God and say, God, if this is, you know, you just got to deal with this person. And I if you want to open their eyes, you know, whatever. But the best thing to do is send them the source material. Don't send them to like Dell Bigtree's Highwire. Don't send them to any of that stuff. Send them the CDC stuff, you know? I don't know. What do you guys think? What do you guys
think? The mainstream stuff. Yes. Because everybody believe mainstream media. You send them something with the CDC. They'll say, oh yeah, well, you know what? Look at that. I think one video, Dr. Fauci was like, yeah, well, nobody needs masks anymore. Like, I think he was saying that. I saw that the other day. I said, whoa, I didn't see this before, but it was going around. Yeah, and like you said, prayer, right? Just praying for the people. That's big.
Hey, Mary, I'm having the same issue with my wife's parents. They are probably the most fearful people I've ever met in my whole life. They are the most fearful people. I can't even begin to the layers of fear they have. Is just, I've never experienced something like this. And my wife's father, my father-in-law, called my wife yesterday to have a talk with her on the phone while the kids were sleeping. And the whole talk was, he wanted to know where we stood on masking and if the, you know, and if we're going to do Christmas and where's it going to be, is it going to be outside, inside and all this stuff. And they wanted to do Christmas at their house with us this year, but they want to wear masks and they wanted us to wear masks. And my wife said, you know, our kids are 2 years old. And my wife said, you know what? That's the deal breaker. We're not going to be around people that are going to wear masks. So if you want to do Christmas with us, you can do it with us, but you're not going to wear a mask. And if you want to wear a mask and you're afraid, then you just don't get to do Christmas with us. But I think this is part of what's happening, that this divide and conquer, they're dividing everybody. You guys are seeing it, right? Like you see it in churches, you see it in everywhere. It's crazy.
I want to spend time with my granddaughter, but they're so afraid because I'm not protecting myself, not going to church and things like that. So, you know, it's like, that's really hard for me because I just moved to Carolina. I haven't seen my granddaughter for many years. She's only 7. So I'm going to pray.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that like, there's just like this thick cloud of darkness that's upon people. And their eyes are just covered up and they cannot see through what's going on. Cause my wife just told me yesterday that in our state, California, Newsom just shut everything down for 3 weeks again, as of last night. And and so what she was saying to me was like, if you watch the mainstream news, like you are going to be so fearful and you're going to think that we're even more and more crazy for not buying into this thing. And as the news gets more sort of theatrical and fearful, we start to look more and more crazy because people just believe that stuff. And whew, it's It's challenging times. Oh my gosh.
I believe that.
I had a friend on Facebook tell me that I was going down the wormhole of conspiracy.
Oh my gosh. I
haven't replied yet. I was like, why don't JP Sears? Right. So I had shared one of his videos about obedience, on Facebook, and he's great. I'm so glad he's out there.
Oh, he's the best.
He's the best. Anyway, it was, it was comments from that, and only, two people chimed in, and they were just like, anyway, I haven't replied yet. I did do one reply, just kind of, doing my stance and listing the people that I've been chiming into, which actually one of them is Del Bigtree and Dr. Bergman. And I mean, Dr. Bergman's videos are awesome. And, and Peggy Hall and, and then they just kind of like schleffed all of it off. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I think, for us, it's going to put us in a weakened position with our health if we try to help other people wake up and see what we see, because it's like that whole Cartman's triangle thing where there's the perpetrator, the abuser and the perpetrator, and then the helper and then the victim. And we all sort of play in those three sort of energy fields. And the person with the strongest immune system in that sort of paradigm is the perpetrator, the person that's out there that's like, the actor who lives to 102 years old, smoking all his life, just doing what he wants to do, doesn't care about anyone, that whole James Dean thing. And just, that's the perpetrator. And that's the person that has the strongest immune system. And when we put ourselves trying to help everybody, we put ourselves in a weakened position. And it's I think we can do a little bit, but I don't think we should put all our energy on the hope that our happiness is defined by if our family wakes up,
I think you're 100% right, Justin. That's like so spot on. That's because I'm sure everybody here is drained trying to get people to wake up, but people are just plugged in and they don't want to wake up. Right. And
that's it.
We could pray for them. We could do everything we can, but honestly, like even like the Bible says, you can't, right. If they're non-believers, you can't push them to believe. Mm-hmm. And I think last time we even talked about it, it's more of things are operating out of fear and out of love. Mm-hmm. And
but it boils down to people,
people are afraid, like, oh, I'm not listening to you. But we love our bodies, we love God, right? We love health, and mm-hmm. we have faith in it. They don't, and that's okay, because that's the way they've been programmed for how many years,
many times.
Yeah. Like, have to come to the grips with the fact that, like, are we okay with our friends and family just continuing to have that belief system and live in fear and live and die in that fear? And if we could come to the place where our happiness isn't based on whether or not they change their mind, and we sort of let them go to God and say, hey, this is your journey, and you get to have this journey. You get to be this way, and I'm not going to prevent you from being this way. And we all, we do this internally. We don't tell them that, obviously, but mm-hmm. we let them have their journey and respect them for that. So for me, my biggest problem is I'm able to let people have their journey. I don't really care to try to convince anybody, but to respect them for that and to really honor that at a deeper level, that's where mm-hmm. I have a problem, because I'm like, wake up.
in a different paradigm than them, though, and mm-hmm. it's like, trying to get people to wake up is the same as trying to make them eat healthier. You want to see them take care of themselves, but if they're in that like even pre-contemplative state where they don't even, they're offended that you are living the way you are and you dare not to wear masks, that offends them. So you can't like even tell them, oh yeah, there's evidence on the CDC's webpage that it's ineffective to wear masks. They're not there and they don't want to go to the next step. So it's just like, you can't move people all the way forward for them.
What's so curious to me? I really want to have a conversation with someone that thinks that way, because I'm kind of in my world with you guys and with my wife and my parents. We all think the same. And but I really want to ask them, like, are you afraid to entertain the idea that, say, masks don't work because you don't want to admit you're lied to, or you don't want to admit that there's something out there you don't know? Like, what's the real reason you don't want to believe something other than what you're being told? Like, I feel like I want to like interview random people on the street and figure this out, you know.
go to my Facebook page and go have a conversation with Leah Lipscomb.
Go to your in-laws. They want to call and chat about it. Be like, hey, I'll talk to them.
I know. I told my wife, hey, you know, tell your parents to come over. Let's have a conversation. But they won't do it, you know. They won't.
Do a Zoom call. Do it like this. A Zoom call. Like, hey, let's just talk. I just, you know.
Yeah, we'll be 6 feet apart. You can wear your mask.
Yeah,
meet
totally.
Outside, too, under the canopy.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I value these conversations every week. I look forward to them. You know, it's like you said, Justin, it's hard. Even going through the week, stuff goes on in family and whatnot. And to me, I just find comfort coming here, of course, with prayer and whatnot. But just being around like-minded people, it's just so refreshing and resiliating.
I know. I
enjoy everyone.
I'm so glad. Me too, because it makes me feel like I'm less crazy, you know, because our plumber that came in the other day to put in a new toilet for us, he was really nice guy, just a great guy. And he said that his wife, you know, all she does is watches the news. And so he'll walk into the house after work and walk in, his wife's just watching the news. And he said he has to like either leave and go somewhere else or go to another room. He can't handle it. Mm-hmm. And I just see the division happening, like in every aspect, and coming together like this for me is, it keeps my sanity. I don't know about you guys.
Definitely. Yeah.
I wanted to share a breakthrough with you guys that I had, Justin, through Chris Keller.
Oh, wow.
I've been working with him. I had tuned into your interview with him last year, and you know, he books out. He's like 2, 4, 6 months booked out. So it took me a while to have a session with him. I've had 2 sessions with him. And on the second session, my pain level in my hip went from a 6.8 down to a 1.2. And it's been a few weeks since I had that session. I have osteoarthritis in my right hip. And that's why I go to Dr. Bergman, right? To help with that. So anyway, Chris has been a huge, impetus for me being able to walk pain-free.
Oh man, that's awesome. That's so great.
So I highly recommend him. He's amazing. I know you guys have done work with him too. I don't know if you've had similar breakthroughs or not, but
yeah, he's it's amazing to think about all the different aspects of healing there is out there, you know, and so many different levels and different tools and modalities and protocols. It's so great that, you know, I'm just glad I'm not in the pharmaceutical world where you have like drugs and surgery. And then those are your two options.
It's Chris Keller, K-E-L-H-E-R.
Yeah, Chris Keller.
It's chriskeller.net, I think, isn't it?
Is it? Okay.
Justin?
I think so. Yeah, let me find.
Did you look that up?
I haven't talked to him in a long time. K-E-H, is it K-E-L? Or let's see, Chris
K-E-L-H-E-R.
K-E, I'll put his link, here we go, .net, right? Okay. Yeah, he uses all kinds of wacky like tools and awesome like pyramids and who knows what he's doing.
I just really resonated with that interview you guys did, and so I just followed my intuition and it really paid off. So
I mean, I've heard
you.
From yeah, no worries. I heard from, you know, Ken Rolla. I don't know if you guys are familiar with his work, but he goes.
That's how I found you. You was through Ken.
Oh my God, same. I love him.
He's great. Have you heard him talk about how he goes to the, I think the Russian pyramids once a year, and people into these pyramids, they'll heal themselves just being in the, in that.
The Palmyra pyramid.
Wow. I know, me too. What'd you say, Devin?
Oh, it's made out of polymer, and there was this guy, he made it, World War I or II, he had extra revenue of money. The scientists built the pyramid and they found that there's so many healing effects. You can find it on Ken Rolla's site because he did a whole presentation about it. So there's like a PowerPoint, but there's one, the slide shows like all the things that it's done. It brought anti-gravitational water pools up to around the pyramid. They brought back also like extinct species of plants.
Yeah. I saw that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a dream vacation.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he was talking
in
about
Russia.
Like, Like people, in Russia, there's these pyramids they just recently found within the last 5 years. And the energy inside these pyramids is something pretty profound, you know, and so.
Interesting.
That's different. Oh, I was talking about the one where the guy built it, but yeah, Bosnia, like they discovered the largest pyramid in Bosnia recently.
That's right, Bosnia, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating, these shapes. So Ken Roll is just an awesome guy. He did our 5G mitigation workshop, and he's a cool guy. But
he has his own group. You know, you pay $5 forever, and a part of his. Devin, did you join that?
Yeah, I did. He just did it recently. He's been talking about doing it just because it's protection, just like the academy here, you know, with everybody taking down its censorship. But Justin, I wanted to ask you, the Rest Shield, compared to the other plug-in devices you have to mitigate EMF, how does it work compared to, I forgot what it's called, you always the advertise it.
Oh, the Blue Shield? Wave. Mm-hmm. Oh, the
Green Wave filter.
Yeah. Oh, the Green Wave. Okay, yeah. So the Green Wave is totally different than what would be like a scalar device like the Rest Shield. So the Green Wave, I recommend anyone have them like on their, you know, plug them into their walls because you have this dirty electricity. And I'm not sure the exact science of how it works, but we measured it and it will mitigate the magnetic fields and the electrical fields coming off the wires in your walls by over 90%. And so what the Rest Shield is doing is putting out, according to Ken, now I don't understand all this stuff, but according to Ken, it's a scalar frequency. And that scalar frequency is something based on like, it's the ambient frequency of the earth that's in our atmosphere, that's within, you know, over the entire earth. And what it does apparently is it, when you have like a scalar field, according to Ken, and you're in that field, if you have like a 5G tower or Wi-Fi signals coming into that field, what it will do is it causes all of those sort of frequencies that are kind of just coming at you from every direction. According to Ken, it puts them into like a parallel frequency. So your body more easily recognizes and understands it. And when you have all these fields coming at you from different directions, it's a super stress on your body and on your cell membranes and the voltage there. And according to Ken, what scalar does is it basically organizes those frequencies to be in a parallel sort of line. So if you had the Rest Shield, you could have that. But then
it unscrambles it kind of, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. Organizes it and unscrambles it so your DNA and your body can more easily accept it. So to me, those are two technologies that you would use in conjunction with each other that are totally separate. The bummer thing about how they set up our system is we went to like 60 Hertz electricity, which is super damaging. We could have gone to, I think Europe does like 80 Hertz or something like that, something different, but we picked 60, which is the most damaging one. And then on top of that, all of the wires that are in your walls right now that you're sitting next to, they're not insulated. So it's spitting out magnetic and electric frequencies. When we had Brian Hoyer come to our home and he measured our walls, it was like he had his meter on with the sound, you know, and it was just every wall was, it was bad, super bad. So
Justin, what about the TVs then? Most of the TVs now are at 60 Hertz. I think that's going to be the standard. The 120, I think, is too much for the eyes. But what about the TVs that are at 60 Hertz now?
Yeah, it's my understanding from all of our guests that have been on that 60 Hertz, no matter what you're dealing with, is really damaging. So I don't know what the corresponding one is that's better. Maybe it's 120. I forget what Europe uses, but anything that's 60 Hertz, which is everything that we use, is damaging. I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, it's like the water, the electricity, it's like everything's...
They say our music, the hertz that music is played at too, is also damaging. They switched it, and you know, it's not like those other ones. What is it, like 580? There's like 20.
Oh yeah, that's
so,
right.
The good music.
So Devin, is the music, all the music, is that like the default sort of frequency they all use, or?
Yeah, Bridget Nielsen, I think, covered it in one of her videos, just like the music, they stopped recording it and then they all started recording it at this more damaging, and then like the water testing theory, they did it to the music, and it wasn't just like classical versus like heavy metal, it was the frequency that the music was played at. So you can like look up music that's transferred over to, like you can actually manually transfer, but then it slows down the songs itself, so then they got to speed it up. It's this whole redoing of process. Oh, you know, Anthony.
Even being a band director, most tuning is, if you go to a concert, whenever, especially the orchestra concert, everyone tunes at A440, and it used to not be like that. And so, you can hear a YouTube video between A440 and then the other one that that Devin talked about, and you can hear the difference. It's really different.
Wow. Yeah, we had a lady on our show years ago, and I forget, there's a website that she actually had that you can plug in like a link of a song or something, and it will automatically transfer it to you, you know. But I mean, I listen to music sometimes when I'm working just through YouTube or something like that, and there's no way to, you know, put all your music that you like through something like that. I mean, you could, I guess, but that seems pretty, pretty time consuming, you know?
Right. 432 hertz.
Yep.
You know, I would say that if you're listening to that music and you're enjoying it and you're loving it, that is going to overpower whatever bad frequencies are, you know, killing us.
Can that be the same about the dirty electricity? Can we just have that mind mentality, like when we go out into the world, like we get so much 5G coming at us all corners and inches of our world.
I know.
Hey, speaking of 5G, I just mentioned before, you got to check out Dr. Tent's last lecture, which was Tuesday night, but it's on YouTube. Anthony asked me to put it on. I don't know how to do it. But anyways, at the very end, he doesn't say a lot of things because he thinks he's going to get into trouble. But at the very end, he showed this clip, and it was a guy in another country who was installing the 5G towers. And he brought out like this circuit board or something. I don't really understand. I'm not real technical on things. But on the back of it, it says COVID-19.
And the guy, I've seen that before a long time ago.
Well, did you?
The whole thing first started, yeah.
What is his name? How do you spell it?
Dr. Tent, and it's called Diverse Health Services, I believe, on YouTube.
Hey,
what's the name of the title?
Yeah, what's the name of the title? Because I can pull it up. I have it right here.
It was Tuesday night.
Is it Dr. Tent's Live Pathogen Response Lecture?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Here, I will. So you said near the end is where he does
it's
that?
It's at the very end. Dr. Tent's not talking anymore. And he said, I just want to. It was really interesting. He explains about the Spanish flu, about polio, and like all this stuff was going on like it is now.
Okay, I just shared that in the live chat.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Some of it's kind of disturbing. I have to listen to it again because there's some things he won't say because he's afraid he's going to get, you know, brought down.
I shared something on my Instagram just a couple or last night, I think, a series of lectures about vaccines, you know, or not lectures, but that, you know, news clips about vaccines and the tracking of all that, you know, and in the comment of it, I said, how long, you know, until we get taken down, and it's, people are being deplatformed. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do, I'm wondering if you guys know of any solutions. So we just signed up for a BitChute account. I think Telegram we're going to do. We're going to do a bunch of different places to go for alternative information. And I've signed up for like four of them. I think I'm on Brighteon now. Mike Adams is one. I'm going to get on ICE Media. I forget that's another one. But if you guys have any suggestions of where we should go, I'm just going to start spreading out everywhere because I see that we're probably going to be taken off at some point.
Library.
Oh yeah, we're on library, but I don't know really how to use that one that well.
Yeah, I don't know how to use any of them. YouTube makes it so freaking easy, man.
Don't they?
If somebody could duplicate YouTube and not have it be YouTube. Yeah,
I know, because what we're trying to do is like we can't stream. I don't think any of those other platforms allows us to stream, you know. So
They probably don't have the server space and all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Big behemoths have a lot of tech folks to do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Where do you guys consume most of your information? Podcasts or YouTube, or where do you go for stuff?
YouTube.
Your podcast.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Podcast, YouTube.
I also subscribe to The Blaze with, Candace Owens is on there and Glenn Beck, and there's a lot of informative stuff there.
Is The Blaze, I thought that was more like a magazine-based website, or what is that?
It's radio and TV, and there's Louder with Crowder. He's kind of crude, but funny.
Uh-huh. I listen to his show sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good, really.
Yeah, he talks so fast. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Because I listen to everything in double speed, so, you know, so I can get through more information. Because I'm subscribed to like a million podcasts, so I listen to everything in double speed. That guy, I can only listen in one speed. He's so fast.
Oh, yeah. I can see that, yeah.
I also wanted to share with you guys lots of news. So I'm turning 55 in January.
Nice.
And so I'm taking myself on a retreat.
Ooh, okay.
To Mexico, and Luke Story's going to be there, and Dr. Buttar.
Oh, cool. Wow. Nice. Whereabouts in Mexico?
It's outside of Puerto Vallarta, Cuixmala.
Okay.
I heard about it, and I was like, I ought to take myself. It's a lot of money. I'm like going into credit card debt, but I was like, you know what? I don't care.
Make sure you have your tax papers.
I know.
But I'm worried that there's going to be some kind of flight, you know, I
need
whatever.
Some tax papers.
I'll wear the mask, like, yeah. Whatever. I'll do that. But
I think our flying days
are
over.
They're going to cancel flights, or, you know, if they're going to try and vaccinate me before I get on that flight, you know, like, so I'm concerned about them canceling, you know, shutting down the airlines again in January. It's January 30th.
January 30th. Give us an update on how it goes and in your flying experience. And I'd love to know, because I have to renew my driver's license. I've been trying to do it for weeks. I just haven't been able to get over there, but I'm curious what they're going to do with that, you know, and mm-hmm. I want to get that done quick, because who knows if they're going to retroactively make you get some sort of real ID vaccine in order to renew your driver's license.
You have the choice. Well, when I did my license last year, you had the choice to get the real ID, but I chose not to.
That's what I went there a few weeks ago, and the line was around the building, and so they said real ID has this short little line over there, so if you've got a real ID, you can get in the fast track line, you know.
Did you make an appointment?
I did, yeah, and it still didn't matter. Like, it's still you kind of had to be there all day, and that's I'm finding a hard time doing that, you know. So
What is a real ID? Because I just moved to South Carolina and I have to do my license soon.
Yeah, I would avoid the real ID at all costs, because they're trying to tie, what they're trying to do is make it so that you have one sort of ID that's good for like having a passport and traveling on planes, for driving your car, for vaccine updates. And they're trying to tie everything into sort of one aggregate ID badge kind of thing. And so what I'm trying to do is just avoid that altogether. So
okay, well, thank you.
Yeah
excuse me, this is Lynn. I was wondering if that would interfere with your ability to be able to fly if you don't have the real ID.
As far as my knowledge goes, not yet, but yeah, I don't know. Are you guys hearing rumblings of things?
Because it used to be that,
you know. Okay.
Yeah, I just flew from South Carolina, and it was weird because they had the National Guard at the airport. You had to wear your masks, and they're doing COVID testing if you weren't willing to fill out the paperwork. But when I was in the airport, I didn't wear my mask at all. I was only one, and nobody said anything yet. So that's, I think, where the stance is. And sorry, it was North Carolina. So it was a Charlotte International Airport. So a pretty big deal, but, you know. On the plane, they mandate that you wear the mask or you can't fly with the airline anymore. So they're not saying anything about the vaccination yet, but that could change next year.
So what did you say, that if you didn't want to get tested for COVID, then they made you stand in a longer line or something?
When you got onto the plane, it was New York's the first state that's done it. You had to fill out paperwork stating where you went, what family members, were they sick? And if you didn't fill out that paperwork, then you'd have to get the test.
So the paperwork was optional? kind of.
Paperwork was mandatory. You couldn't leave the airport if you didn't fill out the airport or get the testing done.
Wow.
Makes sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Ugh. You know, yeah, like you said, Anthony, it's coming, right?
There's been some backlash. I think Qantas is the first international airline that says that they're going to require some type of vaccination paper or approval program if you want to fly on their program. So I think once one does it and it's going to roll out, everyone has to have it.
Yeah.
It isn't just for flying either. I could lose my job because I'm a teacher, and I think some of the healthcare workers, same thing. We're going to be mandated is the word we're hearing here in Arizona. Oh, when the vaccine mm-hmm. comes, yeah, we're going to get the vaccine so we can work. And
I'll walk off the job.
Yeah.
Man.
I'll walk off.
Yeah, it's coming.
Dr. Tent was talking about, I'm sorry I interrupted there, but on the vaccines, when they use the aborted fetal tissue for the growing medium, he said in his practice, he had like, I think it was 8 kids coming in saying that they felt like they were a girl and it was a little boy. And he said, what happens is if a little boy gets vaccinated by an aborted fetus that was a female, he's XY, right? And the girl's XX. Mm-hmm. That female fetal tissue will go to that little boy. So now he has 3 X's.
Oh, wow.
Mm. And that's what's happening with the vaccinations. It doesn't happen to girls very often.
So are they saying that that's the reason why there's a rise in sort of the transgender thing and people not being confused about their identity?
Yes, that's what Dr. Tent is saying. It's so interesting. And I'm probably saying it not quite right. A lot of times I have to listen 2 and 3 times before I get it.
Right.
But when you're talking about the vaccinations, I think everything has aborted fetal tissues on it anymore. All of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And how does your DNA respond to, DNA from somebody else? Like this is a big deal. But you're just a conspiracy theorist, Rebecca. I mean.
Oh, I know.
You can't believe that.
I know.
That's cool. It's so funny because when you say something like that,
it's a crazy, crazy world. And I'm hoping people will stick together and refuse.
Yeah, it's wild. Like you will just say something that's on the mainstream news and you're labeled a conspiracy theorist, but you're just reiterating what they're saying,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a girlfriend that's going to get the vaccine. She can't wait for it. And I keep telling her things, but I think she looks at me like I don't know anything. Then I told her, I said, if you get it, you better stay away from me for at least 2 weeks because you're going to be sloughing that off. And that's when we ought to quarantine ourselves. And I think I'm going to go to my door. If you've had a vaccination, do not enter.
I like that. Have you guys heard our show with Sophia Smallstorm?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On the upcoming RNA vaccine and what she talked about being a software program and it's so crazy.
I got her, I get her masks.
Yeah. You get her newsletter? I really want to get it.
Yeah, I got the last one. It was kind of weird.
Too much.
Why? What was weird about it?
She read some book and a lot of it was, quotes from the book that she had read. And honestly, it was kind of disturbing.
You mean disturbing in a negative way in terms of
like the content of the book? Like it was, I can't recall exactly what it was, but I just remember it being like, why did I pay $50 for this?
Oh, bummer.
But, yeah. Maybe the next one will be better. I don't know. We've actually become phone friends. So we've been communicating over the phone. So,
okay.
Because I wanted to carry her masks in my shop. So that's how we originally connected. So,
yeah, I had a couple of hers and they were really good. I read. Yeah. But not this last one.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. What were you going to say back?
She was talking about that material called Swiss Shield Sun or Daylight. Do you remember that? And so I got some and she said it's made from copper. There's copper and silver threads in it. So when you held up that mask, you say Tanya is your name? Tanya?
Yeah, Tanya. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I went and copied. I went and got a little label, and I put useless placebo on the little mask that I made. And I wore it to the ball game the other night because otherwise you can't watch the kids play. Right. And there's a lot of people that were looked at it and said, what does that say? And they're all laughing. They all feel like I do. But if we can't watch the kids play if we don't wear it. But it's almost like wearing nothing.
Yeah. It is like wearing nothing. It's awesome. Yeah. And it looks like it looks like a legit mask.
Yeah. Wow. No. It's we've got to change the course and the direction of where we're headed, you know, because here in California, it's shut down for 3 more weeks. And my wife and I were up till like 11:30 last night talking about the ramifications and just the combined effect of like people that have tumultuous surroundings with their husband or wife or kids, you know, on top of not being able to work, on top of a fear of a virus, and all this stuff. And it's like suicides are going through the roof, you know? And so it's like, we really have to push back and not mandate. Like, what states are you guys in? Because from what I understand, Florida is a really good state right now in terms of the freedom.
I think it is. Isn't it South Carolina too? Is pretty good.
I think is Devin in South Carolina or not? No, I think. Yeah, I know Texas can have its problems. I thought Texas was better than it actually is, but I've heard some real issues, especially with like Austin and Texas and things. But
you should have seen it at the game the other night. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Cheerleaders went out on the floor and did a cheer. You know, they were allowed to take their mask off.
Yeah.
But then when they sat on the bench, they had to put them back on. And then for one of the cheers, they had to wear the mask because they did a flip. I've never heard of anything so stupid.
So we got a Christmas card the other day with a family that we've been friends with for years. And on the front of the card, it's all four of them and their little kids, you know, all four of them in masks.
I'm like,
what is going on? You're sending a Christmas card with your family in masks? Like, if anything, that should be like the walk of shame or something, you know? Like,
child abuse right there. They're advertising it.
I know.
with the acne and people getting strep throat and pneumonia and,
Child abuse. Are you guys following Peggy Hall yet?
Yes.
Good. The healthyamerican.org.
Oh, okay.
She's awesome. That's really good. I love her.
Yeah.
She's a hero.
It's so funny because every time you see her, she's always like, there's a still shot of her, you know, if it's a video or something, and it's her just with this big old smile on her face, you know, but yet she'll start talking about all the draconian, you know, laws and how we're going to fight and everything like that. But she's always so bubbly, you know, but I really like her work a lot because she's focused on the positive and focused on solutions. Anyone who's not following her, it's thehealthyamerican.org is her website. I'll link it up right now.
Get her on the show, Justin.
Yeah, she's scheduled. She's going to be on in January, I think. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I could actually probably have her in studio if I wanted to, but I'm not sure if we have the cameras for that yet. But
To jump back to the GreedWave filters, because I haven't gotten any yet, and I want to get one or two of them because they're quite pricey. But you lose an outlet. So do you plug it in and then you put a power strip in it? Is that how you do it?
No, what I love about the GreenWave is, okay, so her site's there in the chat room. What I love about the GreenWave is it has an outlet underneath it. So you don't lose an
outlet. Oh, underneath, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think the Stetzer ones, you lose an outlet, and it's basically the same technology from what I've seen so far. But yeah, you lose an outlet with the Stetzer one, and you know.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, green waves.
I got the green wave, and then had the tester or whatever. I didn't have anybody check our house, but I live in an old 2-story farmhouse, so I know it's bad. Yes. And I couldn't believe how much better everything read after I put those in my house.
You know what you can do if you really want to go full distance with this thing is you can get a basically it's almost like the same thing as having a water filter on your shower, but then also having a whole house water filter. kind of a double system. You can get a whole house unit. We sell those through Brian Hoyer on our store, but you get a whole house system that will do the same thing throughout your entire house. And if you're really worried, you can get a Green Wave on top of that. But the problem is that those whole house ones are about like $1,200, I think. Yeah. But would be definitely worth it.
Oh, yeah.
We just have the Green Waves all throughout the house. We just kind of buy one every couple months, you know, and just stack them up over time. So
I say get it before our dollar isn't worth a dollar anymore.
Right. You know, 97% of our currency has been debased. I think it's about 97% since 1913.
Really? Wow.
As soon as the Federal Reserve Act in 1913 happened, 97% of our dollar. That's why like our great grandparents could go to the movies for a nickel, you know?
Yeah.
What happened to those days?
Yeah.
They still have some places in, I think, Wisconsin or Michigan. If you go and get a quarter that's like pre-1965, which uses the full silver content, and it's probably worth like $4 or $5, you can buy like a burger or whatever with it at certain places. They take those coins. That's pretty cool.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to start stocking up on there's a US Coin Capital is a website that I've known about for years, but I'm going to start buying some gold and silver. You know, who knows what the future holds for this economy. And it's,
I know.
Does anyone on this group do any Bitcoin kind of stuff? Because I follow the dollar vigilante, Jeff Berwick, you know, on Library and YouTube. And he's always promoting all that Bitcoin stuff. And I just don't know how it works.
I don't either. I don't get it.
So here's something I don't understand about it. They said that there's going to be only 23 million of these Bitcoins created, right? And I don't know what their projection is in terms of when that's actually going to come due. But what they say is there's not going to be any more than 23 million. So you can't, you know, debase the currency. Mm-hmm. But you can fractionalize it. So you can buy 1/10 of a Bitcoin, or you can.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can fractionalize it sort of infinitely, isn't that the same thing as creating more Bitcoin? Yeah. That's what I don't get. But
yeah. It's just something that look at the countries that just keep adding inflation, like they keep increasing the value. Like, you know, something goes from 20 cents to $20,000. It's like they're just going to keep fractionalizing it the other way. I think that's how it's going to work. So it's just, we're not used to seeing a number decrease, but yeah, that's what it means. Instead of multiplying, it's fractionating.
Yeah, which is almost the same. I guess I'm not sure how much they can fractionate it, but I don't do anything with the crypto stuff. But Tanya, who do you say you follow on that?
The Dollar Vigilante.
I'm going to put his link up. Is that like a podcast? Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah. He does Narcopoco, which is some, you know, like James Corbett has been down there and spoke, you know, it's all kind of finance. He does a lot of finance stuff, but when COVID hit, that's how I found him, because he had the picture on his YouTube thing was the anonymous face.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so that's what drew me to him. And he does walks and talks with his dog. So anyway, he's super funny and just has some really great points and insights. And he'll, you know, he plays JP Sears, you know, a lot on his, he'll replay his stuff on there. So,
you know, it's JP Sears. I have a little personal interaction with him years ago. I met him personally. We went to an event that was held down in San Diego with Drew Cannoli from FitLife and a bunch of other people. And it was a ton of people. But for some reason, I just felt like when I was talking to JP, this was before he started his comedy thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was the only guy that I could talk with that I felt like, this guy is a genuine guy. Like, he is really, he's got some depth. He's not just here to network and try to, I don't know, become more popular. Like, he was genuinely like, we're just talking about our dogs, and he was just such a nice, he was the only person there that I thought was an actual genuine person.
Right.
You know, cool. And so I'm so happy for him. Like, I don't even know if he remembers me, but I'm so happy for him. And I love sharing his stuff. Cause like you said, it's like through comedy, you can share kind of like disruptive information through comedy, and it's kind of okay. You know, that's great. You know who's really great too? Do you guys follow, as far as comedian goes, Brent Pella?
Uh-uh. You put that in there?
Oh, I'll find him. He's done a lot of videos with JP Sears. He is so funny. Brent, or is it Pella? Let's see. Comedy. He is so good. Yeah, I watched the one recently of him and Gavin Newsom. Oh, I'll put the link. Okay, I got his channel. I'll put a link to him. He is so good. Yeah, so he did a parody of Gavin Newsom shutting down the economy in California. He's so funny. Oh my gosh, there he goes. Yeah, so I don't know about you guys, but for me, like, my wife and I are watching more comedy stuff because this is so intense right now. Like, you just have to laugh. You have to have that outlet, right?
Yeah.
You can't watch the mainstream.
What's that? What's that, Devin?
I said you can't watch the mainstream comedy because it's ridiculous.
I know, like, right?
It makes me more mad, but yeah, I'll have to find those.
Yeah, I linked them up in the chat room, JP Sears and Brent Pella. He's so good. Oh my gosh. So good. So Muhammad asked.
Justin.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was going to jump onto that topic you guys just spoke about, like gold, silver, and as well as.
I think you'd have some insights.
Yeah. So here's my insight on that. Gold and silver. I just read this book again and just did more research. It's called The Road to Ruins by John. John Ron, I think, is like that. So he worked for the Treasury. He worked for all those departments, and he saw multiple countries before experience collapses and stuff like that. So his theory is that when the third kind of economic collapse happens again, they're not going to use their money because the Fed has no money to bail them out. So they're going to use the people's savings, which is all our money that we have. And there's a lot of rumor going around about the Great Reset, that they're trying to turn only to digital currency, not necessarily Bitcoin. Bitcoin is just a coin. There's one that's already, I think, XRP they were talking about is the one that they're going to start using, and that's been approved by several banks, like Bank of America, like bought stock.
PayPal just started taking Bitcoin too, yes, by the way.
So they're trying to get all of us off our money into cryptocurrency as the main source, because then you're ultimately controlled, like way more than you already are.
Yeah, so I heard they're going to come out with a Fed coin too. Have you heard about that?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. And God only knows, like, if anyone doesn't think that they're going to tie something like the Fed coin or other popular digital currencies to the vaccine, they're crazy, because that's definitely on the horizon. Because if you decide not to get vaccinated, they can just shut off your coin, you know?
That's it. Yeah. And that's what they're actually, this is what I'm hearing, is that's what they're leading into, where if you don't get this vaccine, can't do your taxes, can't do your passport renewal, your driver's license renewal, and all that stuff. And obviously they're trying to do a global economy through this cryptocurrency, because they're using the China fear tactic once again. They're saying, China's already almost full effect with cryptocurrency. We need to catch up also.
China is migrating over to America big time. They're buying up property in Canada and the United States. I mean, everywhere. China's buying up the world.
I listened to a podcast recently where they said that there's actual Chinese troops, boots on the ground in Canada.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. I don't know if it's true, but this is what this lady was saying. Mm-hmm. She lives in Canada and has seen them.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Last year when I went to, I've been going to Kenya for the last 3 years, and they actually just did a major, China did a major development to get a train station from Mombasa to Nairobi. And that cost in the billions of dollars. And the main factor was China did funding for it. So they are doing a lot of stuff.
Hey, so Devin, you mentioned you know, how are we supposed to confidently invest our money? And Isla, since you most recently read that book, as far as my understanding goes, I would invest in gold and silver, numismatic, where it's coins that you can actually use, not those, you know, gold bricks, but the actual coins.
Yes. I would agree with you. And that's what he recommends, gold, silver. Silver is cheaper, right? Like coins, like I think it's like $23. Mm-hmm. A coin, so at least you know a value. Okay, this is 23, but because they're driving the prices down for the longest time, the true value is much higher. Just never, they never released it. And that's why, remember, government back in like 2000, in the early 2000s, they were buying out gold. We buy gold, all your jewelry, all this stuff. They're all hoarding it. Like China is buying trillions and trillions of not trillions, I think it's billions of pounds of gold and bars and bricks and stuff like that. So it's happening. Even like Warren Buffett switching. He's actually switching right now, like his investments, taking out money from stocks and buying precious metals.
Tangible assets.
Gold and silver. Yes.
Really? Yeah, to me, like the biggest things you could do is, you know, like for me, like digital currency, that's something that you would do as a backup, willing to lose that kind of money, you know, in case it ever, you know, goes away. But to me, like investing in actual things that you can use that make a difference in your life, like if you're going to invest in money, like tangible assets, buying assets, artwork, precious metals, artwork, fruit trees, chickens, like to me,
hemp farms.
Yeah. I'm like these are the things that true real value, you know what I mean? Like I'm glad
they said that there was a family that had 9 generations of wealth and they held it, and they said, what's the secret? She said, simple: a third of real estate, a third of fine arts, and a third of precious metals, gold. And that's in reality, that's, you could do that, right? You could have value in your real estate. You could have money. You could rent out that place if you need to, right? Even if you dorm it out, whatever, that's a tangible asset, including the
precious metals. Real estate, fine art, and heavy metals, or not heavy metals.
Yeah, precious metals. Precious
invest
metals.
In mercury.
I was just going to ask that question about the rental.
Worth money.
What's that?
I said, wouldn't it be cool if all that stuff was worth, I don't know. Yeah, maybe not.
I know.
Mercury and aluminum.
Take out your mercury fillings and you're worth a ton of money.
I'm willing to sell my iron.
Justin? Yeah. Hi, Justin. I have a question. Since I moved to South Carolina, I've been on the, should I sell my house? Should I rent it out? I'm renting it out right now to my daughter. Do you recommend that you keep renting it out then instead of selling it?
From what I've heard, Isla, you would be, you know, good to know because you do a lot of real estate. But what I've heard is that there's a coming sort of real estate reset coming. And,
correct.
You know, so correct. What do you think about Isla? Because Isla buys and sells homes for a living, right?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, let me try to flip this thing. Look where I'm driving to. I'm going to a farm right now just to get some milk.
Oh. Is that a Miller's Organic?
That's next to. No. I'm actually going directly to the actual farm. But Miller's I'm going there after to get some vitamin D3 and K2.
Nice.
Let's see, check it out. I got buggies and stuff over here. It's pretty cool.
So what do you suggest? Like, have you heard that same thing about the coming sort of collapse, I guess you would call it?
There's definitely a bubble that we're sitting in because the values like jumped up a very high amount after COVID. They went from like, you know, X to, I don't know. They were jumped up. I think this is like 15% in some markets. So it was really high in 1 year. So that happened only before the economy collapsed before. And I deal with that all day long where people are just like, oh, my house is worth 300. You know, when I spoke with you before, it was worth 250. And it was only like 5 months ago. Right. So, now everything's kind of like on the rise, and then now it's going to just even out. And if there's another shutdown, you know, it might cause to collapse.
I've got a question for you because this is something that I heard about maybe 4 or 5 months ago when the COVID thing first happened. And that was this sort of idea. You probably know all about this, which is there's some sort of law that prevented landlords from kicking out their tenants if they didn't pay their rents. And it's my understanding that that law is now coming to the end of itself, I think in December 31st. And so now you're going to see a lot of landlords kicking tenants out for not paying their rent. And they can't pay their rent due to all this COVID stuff. Is that true? And is it December that this happened?
Yeah, beginning of January. Yep. So end of December, beginning of January. That's what's going to happen for sure.
So what is that law? Like, what does it allow?
You can't evict. Because if people are facing hardship, you can't evict. So even with certain mortgages, you actually don't have to pay your mortgage at this time, technically speaking, because they will they'll help you out. But that's coming to an end where they can start evicting people. And that starts in January for most areas like Columbus, Ohio, Pennsylvania. So a lot of places will start evicting again. But people have been abusing it. So imagine that. You're a landlord. You have a house for 12 months. Now somebody doesn't pay you rent for 12 months. So either you stop paying also, but most of the lenders are working with people and they're giving them a break if they're experiencing okay. hardships, which is good because that's what they, you know, the foreclosures didn't skyrocket. And they did that in order to prevent the collapse to happen.
What is that law called? And it's January throughout the whole country? Probably.
Yeah, it's I think it's called, I don't know the name. I just know it's forbearance for most mortgages, like forbearance plans that they have. Yeah, which means like they'll actually, thank you so much.
Moratorium.
Okay, yeah, I see.
Moratorium.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what they're, wow. That's what keeps the tenants in place and protected and also keeps the landlords in place and protected. But that can only go for so long because they did like a 6 month initially and then they pushed it to 12 months.
So now you wonder like, what's going to happen with the landlord's relationship to the bank now, because like if the landlord can't collect from their tenants, are they still required to pay their due to the bank? Right. You know,
no, they're not. Believe it or not, some of them don't require you to pay. Like I wow. actually just faced that with a rental property where I didn't have like that many good tenants, but then they just kept giving you extensions. Like yeah, you can, you know, if you're facing hardship, you don't have to pay. And what they did is they refinanced my mortgage to a lower interest, saves me like $300 a month.
Uh-huh.
And they put the old missed payments on the back. So instead of me paying for 28 years, I'll pay for 30 years, which is okay.
Well, it's better for them anyway. They get more interest accrued at the end, which is
exactly
money anyway. Yeah.
So you could definitely take advantage of that thing where it's like, you could just, you know, you said this is a rental property for the South Carolina property and see if they have, hey, do you have any plans going on right now, because I'm experiencing some hardship. They'll give you leeway and you stop paying your mortgage for, you know, whatever, 6 months, a year, and then refinance and to put in the back end. You just collected a year's worth of rent and mortgage payments that you could have saved up invested into something else.
Hey guys, I have to leave in a second, but I really want to ask you if any of you guys have like anything that's happened in the last, like since COVID started around February of this year, so about 10 months ago or whatever, have you guys had any like major wake-up calls or major sort of epiphanies about the structure of the world we live in? Or has anything changed in your mind where it's caused like massive personal growth on any level?
Oh, you mean other than wanting to buy a gun?
Yeah, so that's increased for you, right? Yes. Yeah, me too.
I mean, one fact I heard, President Trump hasn't been the president since February. It was FEMA once he signed the state of emergency. That blew my mind. And that was last night. So, like, everything shifted. How you see this country, this world, what freedom is. It's not what you think it is, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it's so fragile, too, right? And you realize too how quickly and how easily they can get an entire population. For me, the biggest revelation is how they've been able to effectively impact the lives of everyone so quickly. Like the fact that everyone just stepped right in line with this whole thing. To me, that was a real awakening, because before this whole thing hit, I thought we have social media now. People are waking up and more people are, but wow, was I not accurate about that? I mean, people are waking up, but man, I did not realize that there'd be this many people falling right in line with this thing. Like, that's really eye-opening to me.
Especially people that you thought that were independent. Sorry, go ahead, Lynn.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Finish.
Oh, just like, especially independent people that you follow, you know, I just know so many empowered people that are like, yeah, we got to do the mask and, you know, it's protecting others.
It's definitely sort of separating out people, right? And you can kind of see people for who they are, what their fears are through that, you know? I'm just curious, because this has been almost like a great awakening. More people are waking up now than ever before. Some people are going deeper into the matrix, you know, which we're talking about friends and family earlier. And so a lot of people are waking up at different levels, different speeds. This has probably been the biggest year of growth for me. in terms of just learning new information about every aspect of our society. So I'm just curious about you guys, what you think.
How about your spiritual side? Because that's the stuff that I actually love. That's what I've seen myself. So like my spirituality is like when skyrocket, especially like the last like 3 weeks, there's something changed and I'm just so spiritual. And just because I think I accepted that, all right, this might be happening, right? And I think we're at the end. And you can either be like, you can't be lukewarm, right? You got to be with the good or the bad. You can't That's be right. neutral because it still puts you in the bad category. So, you know, like I said, there's just too many prophecies being fulfilled from the Bible. And I'm like, I was never a super religious guy. I always believed in God. But now I just like accepted it. Okay, this is happening. And you have to go with, you know, with God.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Because you start looking at some of that stuff and you're like, okay, maybe there's something to it or some of it or something that's really kind of wakes you up a little bit and think, what is
just
all
just read
this?
Revelations. Everything is literally falling into place and you're like, whoa. And then you start watching videos about people posting it on TikTok, let's say, or YouTube, and they're taking them down right away. And you're like, whoa, this guy was actually speaking the truth and might be affecting their agenda.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
I think that, you know, Peggy Hall is trying to form, you know, groups of people where it's like another type of society, right? It's like, we're going to do our reset, right? So she's looking for lawyers, airline pilots for, you know, private flying, teachers, you know, unschooling. I mean, she's got a freaking plan and it sounds amazing and I am on board.
That's incredible. Drop that name down. I definitely want to do some research on her.
Yeah, I put, it's thehealthyamerican.org. I put a link in the chat room to it. I'll put it in there right now again so you can click on it. But
yeah, I'll try and find that one where she talks about that whole thing too. It was really, really cool.
Wow.
I got to hop off too, you guys. I got to scoot and get started with my day, but I love hanging out with you guys. So thanks.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I love it. Be safe.
Yeah, totally, guys. Let me know if there's anything I could do for you guys. If you like to do these more often, you know, might be able to do that as well. So just let me know if you need anything or want anything, any, you know, specific things in the academy, let me know.
You're talking about doing it maybe twice a week?
Yeah, I'll do whatever. Cool. Yeah, I'll do whatever is going to help people because it definitely helps me and I'd like to do it more. I just wish, you know, I've twin boys that are two that are just like, you know, pretty nuts. So, but I love to do it more. I love hanging out with you guys. It's so much fun.
You set up the academy so you can join the Zoom room anytime. So like your members can have their own thing too, couldn't they?
Yeah. So the Zoom rooms are sort of always open. And so you can check and see, but people's schedules are so different. We have people from all over the world. So it's difficult to like kind of plan, but if you wanted to plan to talk with someone individually, you could do that on the Zoom as well. So, yeah. So like for me, this just helps me a lot because I don't get a chance to talk with people too much, you know, that are on the same page as I am. So it's like you know, therapeutic for me. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I have a show, so I have to go. We have two guests on the show. I've never done this before. So we have two guests on the same show. So I got to kind of prepare a little bit more for that one. So
cool. We'll be there. Good luck.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thank you a lot. And I'm going to sign off. I don't know. When I sign off, does it kick all of you guys off or what does it do on your end?
I think it
does kick us off.
It does kick you off.
It does kick us off. I don't know if you can make somebody else like admin, administrator, and they could stay on if people want to continue talking.
Yeah. No? Let me figure out how to do that. Cause sometimes if I click the wrong button, it doesn't record it. So it won't be, you know, on as a rebroadcast, but let me try to do that. Cause you guys could keep hanging out. Okay. So I'm going to leave meeting and Isla, do you want me to make you an admin for just a minute?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Definitely. Cool. Let's see.
Appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah, totally. Okay. Let me see. Oh, there we go. Assign and leave. All right, guys. Dude, I'll see you guys next week, next Friday.
See you, Justin.
All right. Love you guys. Take care.